Thank you. Any questions, Mr. Van Hout? Go ahead, please.
I'm Mary Cavanaugh. I'm an attorney in private practice with the firm of Woodard and Ligon, and I'm also a member of the Oregon State Bar Committee on the Rights of the Handicapped, and I've been asked to appear representing that committee to inform you that we do support Senate Bill 783. With one exception, we would like to add an amended language concerning the qualifications of the visitors. The American Bar Association Commission on the Legal Problems of the Elderly has also expressed its support of this bill, and the full text of their letter of support is included in the packet which you have been handed. That packet also includes a survey that was recently completed. There's a two-page summary at the top of the survey, and also a 1980 survey on the same subject. In 1980, the Committee on the Rights of the Handicapped conducted a survey of the guardianship cases, which showed some serious flaws in the guardianship procedure, and the 1983 legislature revised the guardianship statute in order to correct some of those flaws, principally requiring the mandatory appointment of a court visitor. A follow-up study has recently been conducted, and that's the study that you have in your hands there. 280 randomly selected files from 12 Oregon counties were reviewed. The counties surveyed were chosen on the basis of their population, geographic location, and the number of annual guardianships filings. The survey showed that in 28% of the cases surveyed, there was no evidence of proof of service in the file. In 87% of the cases, the proposed ward did not have an attorney. In 40% of the cases, a visitor was not appointed to investigate the appropriateness of the guardianship. And in 20% of the cases, there was no evidence in the file to corroborate the allegations in the petition. The 1987 survey, as grim as the results may seem to be, actually shows clear progress has been made since the enactment of the 1983 legislation. But a significant number of petitions are still being granted without any evidence to corroborate the allegations in the original petition. Since a guardianship is designed to protect an individual who, because of age or disability, needs assistance in handling their affairs, society has a great deal of investment in having a good guardianship law to provide that protection. But there's no getting around the fact that it's also a tremendous incursion on the personal autonomy of the proposed ward. And our committee believes that it's important to carefully craft some legislation to balance those two rights. And we think that this new legislation here will achieve that purpose. The suggested amendment that we have concerns the qualifications of the guardians. The qualifications of the visitors. And you'll find this language on page 2, lines 10 through 15. We agree that it would be desirable to have persons trained solely in those disciplines to be appointed as visitors. But in practice, the visitor program is largely volunteer, and frankly, those persons are often not available. So we suggest the following language, and this is included in the testimony in your packet. Visitor should be defined as a person who is an officer, employee, or special appointee of the court who has no personal interest in the proceedings and who has been trained or has the experience to appropriately evaluate the needs of the person who is allegedly incapacitated. We feel that that language will provide for a decent visitor but still allow the individual counties some flexibility in maintaining their volunteer visitor programs.
Senator Cohen.
As a lawyer, I'd like you to look up and see whether you think that that you need a person who has a license in some mental health evaluation or a professional to do that. And I think I'm pretty much on board with your suggestion. If you get it, appropriately evaluate the needs of the person,
mm-hmm.
That's a real... Okay. Hard one.
Yes, it is.
And that's why that's going to be of some cost. And I guess, have you heard from the courts to deal with the cost of this?
As a matter of fact.
And whether you're going to, if you have a disagreement, if you're now going to ask the visitor to make a recommendation.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you're not doing. I haven't really looked carefully enough. And I wonder about those words if they're
appropriate.
Well, if they're If they're specific enough.
As a matter of fact, the language suggestion was made specifically at the comment of the Washington County Probate Commissioner. Washington County runs what could be considered an excellent volunteer visitor program, and they train their volunteer visitors very specifically to see that they are qualified. That individual was disturbed that the proposed language as it stood in the bill when it came before our committee appeared to exclude some of her visitors who had been trained.
Oh, yeah, I'm worried about that.
Exactly, and that is particularly why we suggested the more liberal language, and this committee may wish to tinker with that language further. Principally, our concern is that the visitor be someone who has some demonstrable qualification in the area or has gone through some program of training and who has no personal interest in the matter.
I agree with you 100% in the focus. I just am not sure that you're not wrapping in it so specific that we're going to end up with some litigation that says, look, they weren't qualified to recommend to the judge, and they made a mistake, and somebody killed somebody or whatever.
No.
We're back into that whole kind of thing here.
That's a well-taken point, and I think it may be appropriate to look carefully at that language. It also might be appropriate to solicit the training program of Washington County, which appears to result in good quality visitors, and perhaps use that as a criteria.
Okay, if you...
That the visitor have gone through some sort of program provided by the court.
Well, we don't have a lot of time. I suggest people who are interested in this bill to sort of get with the Washington County people. I know Clackamas County has a pretty good program of training their volunteers. I just don't want to eliminate that or make it so restricted professionally that you close out those kind of programs and therefore close out the real access or cause added expense.
Senator Hamby.
I really like the new language, and I recall as like it was yesterday the struggle we had as we drafted the 1983 legislation to identify precisely what characteristics a visitor and what experience at least a visitor might carry to assume this responsibility. I'm disappointed because I know our county's program has been working well, and I'd love to see it implemented throughout the state. But I understand that in some counties they've not had the volunteer response. And I share somewhat Senator Cohen's concern. I'm pleased with at least the inclusion of the language or experience, so that surely if someone could show that degree of empathy and experience that they would qualify.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You could rework that, shouldn't
you? It's already.
I think it would. Go ahead, Polly. What were you going to say? Yeah.
Chairman Fry, my name is Holly Robinson. I'm with the Oregon Advocacy Center, and I would like to address both the questions or the concerns raised by both Senator Hamby and Senator Cohn. In the drafting of the statute, we did consult with the current visitor programs that were successful. Because we did not want to hamper their success. And the language, in fact, comes from the Oregon Model Project that was developed after the 83 session and is language that is currently acceptable to those programs that do have programs running, and they felt that this was workable within their parameters. So I believe that we have already, it's my hope at least, that we have talked to those people that are familiar with this and that they were satisfied with the amended definition. They didn't like the first one. They thought it would be restrictive, but they felt that the new one that's been proposed would satisfy and not overly bind them.
Senator Hill.
Yes. But in the counties that don't have such a program, how do you feel about that language in regard to those counties?
Well, Senator Hill, Chairman Fry, for the counties that don't have programs, that raises a lot of issues. Because there are models that exist whereby visitors can be trained, and materials developed by the Oregon Model Visitors Project, and there are counties or examples where it is currently being done, is at least our hope that by having someone that's got some expertise or some training or experience that they would be able to find somebody who could do it. The problems that have arisen on the other side, though, and though I share your concerns, the other side of the coin is, for example, in Marion County, we had one case where, and you'll see it in your packet, where a petitioner attorney was using his secretary as the visitor. Obviously, that poses some problems. We also have situations where individuals who are experienced in geriatrics and other situations, like a geriatric disability, would interview and get involved with an individual with a developmental disability and really had no knowledge of what that person's abilities are, or even how to begin to assess the problems. So, I mean, it doesn't answer the question specifically as to the counties that aren't doing it now. I don't think it would hurt them. I mean, I don't think it will hinder their efforts if new legislation comes down that will perhaps make them look at the fact that they're not in compliance. As a result of the survey, we do have one county who has now started a visitors project. So at least just by surveying the counties and bringing this back in front of the judges and other practicing attorneys, perhaps we'll get some increased compliance.
Senator Hill.
So you're saying that this is enough of a standard, kind of an intermediate standard that would give enough guidance even in counties that don't have such programs? As
we believe, I mean, particularly those of us that are practitioners in this area, we believe that this will address the problems that currently exist while at the same time not hamper the efforts of the volunteer programs.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any other questions? Senator Warren.
Well, what do you think it'll add to the efforts here to set a clear and convincing evidence? You're going from, if the court is satisfied, which rather than fines, which it seems to me it's good to go to fines, but by clear and convincing evidence, do you think that if somebody's going to want to challenge the appointment of a guardian or a conservator, that it's going to make that much difference once a judge decides one way or the other to put clear and convincing in there? I just wonder if you're...
Chairman Frye, Senator Wires, if I might answer the question. We believe that it's important to establish some consistency. First of all, I think it's important to at least put in statute a evidentiary standard that is legally recognized. We have 36 counties in the state and 36 different definitions of what it takes to be satisfied. So when moving beyond that point then to picking an evidentiary standard that would be appropriate for guardianship, it seemed appropriate to use as an analogy the civil commitment standards. And if I might, for may, share a story with you about a recent situation where they held a commitment hearing in a hospital, took all the court staff, took all these individuals, spent a day and a half doing a commitment hearing using a clear and convincing standard, committed the person to that hospital, and then for a period of like 10 days, and at the end of the 10 days, the person, the commitment was up. They then had to go back to court, and it's certainly our position that civil commitments are far less restrictive in actuality than guardianships. At the end of the 10 days, the civil commitment was up, and in about 10 minutes, they got a guardianship order. Those kinds of stories and that kind of discrepancies concerns us. And that's why, because, in fact, it's our position that guardianship is far more restrictive than civil commitments, then I think it's important to have a standard that reflects that.
Well, you've put the same standard in, haven't you, for
conservatorships.
Right.
We did that for two reasons. Again, I think the language in the conservatorship statute was loose enough that it was non-definable and probably unconstitutional. The other reason that we chose to do that is that many times guardianships and conservatorships are done at the same time. You oftentimes use the same evidence, the same person's testifying, and it seemed inappropriate to not have a consistent standard. And so in an attempt to have the same standard applied at the same hearing, we just modified the conservatorship statute to, again, put in a legally recognized, definable as ever any evidentiary standard is, standard in the statutes.
Now, you carried me along pretty well with your clear and convincing on guardianship, but then when you do it on conservatorship, that's kind of a little bit of, I don't know. eyewash, I might say. And I have to say, I think a little the same of your definition of visitor, because I share your concern about visitors, but if you look carefully at what at the statute as it now stands and then look at your proposed compromise amendment, you really, the only element you've added is has been trained or has the experience to appropriately evaluate the needs of the person. Well, then you've got no definition of what experience to appropriately evaluate is. You know, this bill will be greeted happily in Multnomah County, where the Judge McLennan doesn't really want to go very far with visitors, because it won't require him to do anything differently than what he's doing right now. So if you want to pass a bill so you can say, I guess that will probably help you in your efforts to talk to people like him. You'll say that the legislature has looked at this again and said they want to do a little more than they have. But the only other thing is I wish you'd try and get some ideas to us too before work session on this, is how we could prevent the use of conservatorships being used as guardianships. That's something I'd like to see something in the statute about, because it's my impression that frequently once people get a guardianship for an elderly person, then they use that to decide which nursing home they should be in and what medical care they should get and so on, which is for some weird reason less threatening to the conservator than becoming a guardian, in spite of the fact that they're making guardianship decisions with a conservatorship.
Chairman Freisner and Wires, one of the things that has been discussed in the development of this bill was exactly that concern. One of the ideas that we toyed with, mostly I think in terms of intellectual exercise, was the establishment of a visitor provision in conservatorships, too. I think that that would be one way to begin to address that issue. On the other hand, given the noncompliance that we currently have, I don't know what would solve the problem, but on the plus side, for those cases where I don't have the statistics in front of me, and they are in your packet, there's a high level of cases where guardianships and conservatorships are done jointly. And I think certainly consideration for use of a visitor-type approach, since the person's already going out and interviewing the person, may be one way to address that concern. It is legitimate. There are other ways that would solve the problem that cost money. So for those that don't cost money, I think that consideration of expanding the visitor provisions to guardianship, to conservatorship cases may be one.
Yeah, I like that idea, just at first blush, because the situation I had where the guardian, they got a conservator appointed, and immediately the conservator started acting like a guardian, and there was no visitor and no discussion of one, and the person was, I won't then go into the whole story, but and I just wonder if that isn't happening a lot. And we shouldn't, because when I later got a guardian appointed in a case, people kind of acted like, usually that isn't what they do, they just get a conservatorship.
It would also be our hope, I think, that by having a higher legal standard or evidentiary standard, that would, I think, in a judge's mind, change the perception with which he or she looks at the case. I think that if you just set guardianships in a different category and begin to conceptualize them along the same lines as civil commitments, then judges would think twice about signing the papers. I mean, unfortunately, guardianship and conservatorship law cases don't get appealed very often, and so we don't have all this case law to do some of this stuff. But I think what we're attempting to do is just raise some consciousnesses and bring some attention so that a judge would think twice and perhaps consider the case differently and consider it more maybe like a civil commitment before actually signing a piece of paper.
Any other questions? Senator Hill?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Woodard, you're from Marion County.
I'm Mary Cavanaugh. I am originally from Marion County. Yes. As a matter of fact, I recently started practicing in Multnomah.
Okay. And Bob, do we have any particular problems here in Salem? I mean, in Marion County? Because I knew we had a lot of retired people here, but compared to others now, specifically it says, is it apparent that the visitor was trained as a visitor? In Marion County, response was 7 yes and 52 no in the survey here. What's going on here?
Mr. Chairman and Senator Hill, I think the thing that's going on is that you really don't hear about a lot of these cases that are going on. We get a lot of horror stories about, you know, people having all their assets drained out by a so-called guardianship or so-called conservator, and somebody takes their furniture over to Ontario and sells the whole works, and they're left with the eggshell and nothing else, you see. And yet, you talk to these people about it, and they say, well, I was dumb, you know, and maybe they were dumb, but that doesn't mean that they should be penalized because they were dumb. And we do have, we're not immune, Senator. They are happening, things are happening here as well as in other places of the state, and we want to have it at least tightened up or consistent so that we can say, how come this guy's brother, who was the attorney, was appointed the guardian when his own real purpose was to milk off all the assets of the person, you see? And maybe I shouldn't say that in public, but that's the truth.
And this is what the bill is designed.
It wasn't necessarily lawyers.
And this is what the bill is designed to address.
Yes, to help prevent abuses which are occurring.
Do we have a visitor training program here, Bob?
I really can't answer. I don't know that we know.
Chairman Fry, Senator Hill, I don't believe that there is one in Marion County. You would note that at least Marion County does have a high level of compliance, but Marion County was also the county where the petitioner's lawyer was the visitor. So what's happened in Marion County in actuality is that in certain cases are covered by the DD case management office. Another section, I think a lot of the elderly are done by a volunteer or actually a paid social worker. So there's good and there's bad coming out of Marion County. In one case that I was personally involved in, an attorney practicing in Marion County was appointed by the judge. He was a longstanding friend of the judge and of the defendant in the case and spent 3 pages in a visitor's report slandering me for filing a termination of guardianship case. But the visitor order was signed. So there's good and bad in every county, I guess.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Questions? All right. Thanks very much. Oh, I guess I have one question. Is it really essential or critical to this bill that we have this form going to the Oregon Revised Statutes?
Yes, I think that's very appropriate. It's a way of assuring quality control. One of the worst parts of this whole area is it's very subject to the interpretation of the individual. You have the example of a firm in Marion County that feels it's appropriate to appoint one of their secretaries as a visitor. The use of a form. I'm sorry, what were you going to say?
Excuse me, but if you had the judge following the order, there's not much. If the judge followed the appropriate procedures, that's one. Whether you rectify it by a form is another issue. You know.
Well, actually,
I agree with. You know, I'm here one of those people who essentially tried to get a report in a modified way in the first bill, but we continue to try to fix things by legislation when it really is implementation, and it's people who won't do the first part of it. And if they did it right, you probably wouldn't need it. I don't know how you get from here to there, but Senator Fry, there are 2 more pages of form in the statute.
Chairman Fry, Senator Cohn, it's been our experience that having the guardianship annual report form has helped. And so it's in our hope, given the numbers of counties that don't currently have programs and they're going to need some direction and some guidance, that having something that they can hold in their hands and say, okay, now this is what I have to do and this is what I'm supposed to look at, does help.
Do we need it in statute in order to get a something in the sense that can't we get the court administrator's office to prescribe a form of this nature without having to put it into the statute? Can't we direct the court administrator? Now that we have a state-run court and we have judges who are responsible to justice, then it seems to me that's another way to do it because it is a real problem to have a form in every, you know, we started out with the domestic relations petition, I think, and that was one of the first, and it took a long time.
I share your concern, Senator Cohn. I think that the best way for me to respond is that As a practical matter, there are some of us that do a lot of guardianship work and know it inside and out. I would say 98% of the attorneys involved in guardianship cases don't know the law and don't need that kind of direction. Or there aren't attorneys involved. I mean, it'd be wonderful
we
if we didn't need it.
Maybe we ought to go back to the law schools, or maybe we ought to just put a limit on attorneys.
Or take all of the forms and the...
the way we've been talked about it in the whole...
Leading and practice handbook form. And stick them into the statutes. Okay. Well, anyway, Counsel, did you have a comment?
The other alternative would simply to be to provide a short list of things that have to be included in every report and abstract the elements out of this and put those in the statute.
That would be fine. The concern is giving some guidance to those counties that are not currently in compliance.
Okay. All right. Fine. All right. Thank you. Let's see. Now we have Gina Gross.
I guess I'm done.
Yes. Oh, all right. Thank you. All right. I think that's all we have signed up on Senate Bill 783. So we'll close the public hearing on that. And. Here's what I'm going to do now for all of you folks sitting out there wanting to know which is next and which is last. The next bill that we'll take up is Senate Bill 689 because we have some witnesses from Lake County. After that, we'll go to Council on Court Procedures, the report from Doug Haldane, who's from Eugene. And then we'll go to Senate Bill 756. And then we'll go to Senate Bill 518. And then we'll go to 318 and 490. Now, that's assuming an awful lot that we get to the last couple. I do want to get to those where we've got out-of-town witnesses. So we've got... Now we've got Lane Simpson and Robert Nichols. Can you come up together, gentlemen? I don't know for sure, but if committee members want to go. I'm going to try to adjourn by 7. Try to. Okay, go ahead. This is Senate Bill 689.
Thank you. Chairman Fry, committee members, my name is Lane Simpson. I'm an attorney from Lakeview, Oregon, and I'm here to support passage of Senate Bill 689, which amends a current District Court Statute 46.019 to establish a district court for the counties of Lake and Klamath. Being optimistic right off the bat, I would like to say that the general consensus of the public in Lake County is in support of the bill. However, they would like an amendment to the bill to require that the judge shall be a resident of or have a principal office in Lake County. The current situation is that we have no resident law-trained judge in Lake County. We had a circuit court judge for many, many years, and that was combined, the 13th Judicial District was combined with the Klamath County, and so all of the circuit court judges are residents of and have a principal office in Klamath County. They travel to Lake County twice a month to hear cases. So that's the only time we have a law-trained judge in the county, basically. There is a current senior judge to handle ex-party matters, so we're not completely without a law-trained judge, but he will not handle anything that is contested, and he's just part-time. That's Judge Foster, who is retired. We have two JP, or Justice of the Peace systems, in Lake County. Currently, a Southern District, which probably does over 90% of all of the JP work, and a Northern District that handles the balance of the JP work. The Northern District, located in Summer Lake, which is about 77 miles north of Lakeview, has court two times per month, the first and third Saturday, I believe, from at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And when I say that there's no resident law trained judge in Klamath, if you're not familiar with the area, or in Lakeview, and the closest is Klamath, Klamath Falls is 100 miles from Lakeview. Both terms of the existing JPs in the county expire in January of 1991. The practical effect of implementing a district judgeship for Lake County and Klamath County with a resident judge in Lake County is that we would have a law-trained judge who, we're not saying JPs are not fair and not honest, but we would hopefully have more of a technical compliance with the law in the judicial decision-making process. Also, we feel that in a three-day-per-week period, which is what the bill calls for, that the judge shall sit in Lake County at least 3 days a week.
Excuse me.
Yes.
You just really made me mad because you said something critical about JPs. My barber used to be the JP in the town where I worked, and he held court in his dining room, and he had a sign up right there that said, "Jesus never fails." And one time, I hadn't gone to law school yet then. I was still more of a good person. And I went to this trial this time, and this defendant brought a lawyer. And